it's a misdemeanor to be in possession of a syringe, so it's illegal to perform the police.
Okay, it's, okay, it's June 9th, 1995. Bathrobes PO's Broadside's coming on shortly. Doing my own dubbing for the first time here on this boombox in the station. We have a new strip, so you can actually plug in your thingy. That is to say, your boombox.
I married Sal about a year ago. She was the prettiest.
Coming up next, Bathrobes PO's Broadside's.
Dust has turned her hair to gray. Dust is all around. Ashes turn to ashes, boy. Dust will turn to dust. Nature's way of carrying on is all a man can trust. Oceans batter at the land. Trees defy the storm. Hard times drill you to the bone. Dreamers, just dream on. Money's getting scarce. Times don't get no better, boy. I'm bound to leave this place.
And that was Peter Yarrow from Hard Times, an album that came out in the mid-70s. And we'll cut the feedback and get on with the show. You're listening to Bathrobes PO Robert, and it's Bathrobes PO's Broadsides, another 2 hours of agitation, education, and who knows, maybe even some organization, as they used to say in the old IWW hearings, and I guess they still say it, because the IWW is still around. It has a local number in Santa Cruz if you want to join up, which you can call by, and if you can't get it through information, give me a call at 423-4833. That's 423-HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and we'll put you in touch with the Wobblies so you can get the straight dope. Well, today we had a couple guests planned, and they are no-shows at the moment. Very interesting guests. One, Aaron, from a group of young guys from Ashland, Oregon, who I ran into at the Food Not Bombs meal on Tuesday morning. And they gave me some very interesting reports about what's happening up in Ashland regarding harassment of poor people, young people, homeless people, countercultural people. There apparently is a big push on now. In fact, on Tuesday, I understand, Ashland passed an anti-camping law, as well as a mass of other laws. I actually talked to them. I talked to a woman named Ruth at, I think it's called Peace House, on Tuesday. And their council meeting is also on Tuesday. No, actually, it was on Monday I talked to her, but they have a council meeting on Tuesday at which they were going to have a final reading of a truly grotesque law, which actually maybe not so grotesque compared to our laws, which seem to be, well, all these anti-homeless laws seem to be coming out of the same mill. The California laws, I understand, were kind of modeled by a think tank in Sacramento, based around a Seattle law, which may or may not have originated in Sacramento, which is currently on challenge in the federal courts. This is a law which makes it illegal for you to sit on the sidewalk, illegal for you to ask for spare change. And they're doing this under the guise of simply regulating the time, place, and manner and stopping so-called aggressive behavior and abusive behavior. Now, we all, of course, oppose abusive behavior, the abusive behavior of landlords, the abusive behavior of the police, the abusive behavior of merchants who like to monopolize, take over city areas, and remove whole classes of people. Well, they don't like to do it, but, you know, profit demands. But here's an example. This Ashland ordinance, which I have in front of me, is described as an ordinance relating to aggressive panhandling, interference with travel on sidewalks, making it unlawful to place another in fear of offensive physical contact, prohibiting open containers and improper use of public monuments and fountains, adding a new chapter to the Ashland Municipal Code relative to unauthorized camping or sleeping on public property, and providing penalties. So it starts off with a boom, talking about aggressive panhandling, interfering with travel on sidewalks, offensive physical contact, so forth, which has a certain ring of need about it. I mean, you certainly don't want people harassing other people downtown. But let's look at the nuts and bolts, so to speak, of this law. Disorderly conduct. Well, this says no person shall block or interfere with or attempt to block or interfere with any person along a public sidewalk in an area, in any area designated or designed for pedestrian traffic by any means, including but not limited to standing, sitting, or lying on that part of the sidewalk or area used for pedestrian travel, or placing any object or vehicle in such sidewalk or area with the intent to interfere with free passage. No person shall block or interfere with or attempt to block or interfere with pedestrian or vehicular entrances to public or private property abutting a public sidewalk with the intent to interfere with the free ingress to or egress from such property. And people guilty of violating any section here are guilty of a misdemeanor, which in California is punishable by up to 6 months in jail, sometimes a year in jail, and a $1,000 fine. Now, I don't know about Oregon, but I suspect misdemeanors are probably more serious crimes up there as well. Now, notice that they begin by saying no person shall block or interfere with, which is seems legitimate, although one wonders about whether merchant displays blocking or interfering with pedestrian traffic are also intended here. I doubt it, because it says no person. But then they get down to the nitty-gritty. What they really want to do is give the police carte blanche to go after anybody standing, sitting, or lying on any part of the sidewalk used for pedestrian travel, or placing any object, can we read backpack or possibly demonstration table, in such sidewalk or area, with the intent to interfere with free passage. Now, it does say intent to interfere with, so it makes it more difficult. In Santa Cruz, you don't have to have an intent to interfere. All you have to do is sit down within 10 feet of a store window, and you are guilty of an infraction, according to Commissioner Salazar, who made that ruling in February regarding the new Kennedy-Rotkin sit-near-a-shop-go-to-jail law. So in a way, the law sounds a little mellower. Well, it seems to be a little more stringent in its requirements for a crime than ours. But again, they are attempting to give police, it certainly reads to me, the ability to remove the people they don't like in sunny Ashland, or perhaps rainy Ashland, as I remember Oregon is pretty rainy. And those who are well-heeled or look like they might be good customers can proceed as usual. There's another section here. Well, here's a section that's relevant. I have no objection to this. It's called offensive physical contact. No person shall cause or attempt to cause another person reasonably to apprehend that the person will be, oh, here we go, to apprehend that the person will be subjected to any offensive physical conduct, including but not limited to touching, grabbing, or striking, either to the person or to personal property in the person's immediate possession. In other words, if someone implies they're going to touch you, that's offensive physical conduct. Touching, grabbing, or striking either you or your property, they don't have to do it, they just have to threaten to do it, make you to think that they're going to do it, that they will do it, then that is a crime. Now, that sounds a little bit like we're reaching here, gang. I mean, if someone touches you, fine. If someone threatens you with some kind of injury, fine. But if someone threatens to touch you, I threaten to touch your backpack. I threaten to touch, your bicycle. I look like I'm about to touch your bicycle. I say, what a neat bike, man. This now has become a crime under the assault and battery section. I mean, this is reaching, and I think probably designed to deal with a particular class of people in Ashland, Oregon. Poor people. Particularly since all these laws are coming at the same time. Next section is the open container, which prohibits having an open container if you possess on your person while in or upon any street, alley, public ground, or other public place, unless licensed by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, any bottle, can, or receptacle containing any alcoholic liquid which has been opened or a seal broken or which has been partially removed. It shall not be a violation if it's within a motor vehicle in compliance with the open container law in a motor vehicle. Well, people who don't have places to live and can't afford, obviously, lots of money to drink in public places where the restaurants have public areas, have to find somewhere to indulge. And while I yield to no person in my disgust with people who are drunk, I really have a very low tolerance for drunks. I always have. I don't drink myself and can't stand drunks. I think that if you aren't abusing other people, if you aren't running around staggering drunk, certainly having a bottle of beer in a public place should not be a crime, particularly if you don't have any place else to go. And it's a form of deprivation of liberty to tell people they can't do what everybody else does who has money, even though they have the wherewithal to purchase the liquor, they're acting in a reasonable manner. They're simply trying to live as best they can. And to make this a crime is, in essence, to say, well, they don't matter. Their lives don't matter. What they need, what they want, their pleasure doesn't matter. What matters is that we have this pristine-looking public area. That's our primary concern. And, of course, that ain't my primary concern. And I hope it isn't your primary concern. Next section of this Ashland, Oregon code, which I'm reading to you from, which was given to me by Aaron, who came down with Aaron James, I wish I remember the rest of the names, some other young guys from Ashland in their big school bus. They were actually removed, they weren't removed from town, they were threatened by police. Aaron said he'd received over 100 tickets in the last 6 months, parking tickets, because up to Tuesday, there had been no camping ban that I'm aware of in Ashland. They came down here, and they're looking to sort of start again. And they were very enthusiastic, or at least Aaron was, about coming on the show. So I'm a little concerned. If you get to a phone, give me a call, Aaron. And this includes anybody else. If anyone else is interested in calling into Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, we are a talk show. Give us a call at 427-3772 or 427 Free Radio Santa Cruz, FRSC, 427-3772, and we will hopefully see the phone ringing. We get a little blinking phone here. I will see the phone ringing, and I will pick it up, and you will be on the air. So you have any reaction to this, definitely let me know. And the lines are open right now. I'll be receiving calls shortly as soon as I've finished going through this set of new laws that apparently passed muster at City Council on Tuesday. I haven't had final confirmation on that, but the Ashland City Council in Oregon has passed a new set of anti-homeless laws, it sounds like. The next law that they were considering and presumably passed prohibited use of fountains and monuments. No person shall climb, stand, lie, or sit upon any public statue, monument, or decorative drinking fountain, except that part designed for sitting, nor shall he wash, bathe, shower, brush teeth, or wash clothes. Yeah, it's nice to have fountains for drinking, but it's also important there be public facilities for other things. And the idea of making it illegal to lean on a monument or fountain, sit on a monument or fountain, actually not lean, climb, stand, lie, or sit. This was a law in Santa Cruz used repeatedly in the early 90s against people doing political protests and against homeless people that the Santa Cruz Police Department and the Jim Lang's Parks and Rangers didn't want sitting around in public places. So it didn't have anything to do with desecrating monuments, and it didn't have anything to do with abusing public spaces in any real way. It had to do with the get-them-out-of-town mentality, the shop-till-you-drop idea that is unfortunately becoming the Santa Cruz way and the way of other cities, at least in terms of recent city council actions. And then finally, the law that particularly interested me is there a new camping ban in Ashland, Oregon. And they talk about camping, which means any place, campsites where bedding, sleeping bag is used for bedding purposes, any stove or fire. No person shall camp in any sidewalk, street, alley, lane, public right-of-way, park, or any other publicly owned property or under any other bridge or viaduct unless otherwise specifically authorized by this code or by declaration of the mayor in emergency circumstances. And no person shall sleep, here's the sleeping ban part of it, on public beaches between the hours of 9 p.m. and 8 a.m. No person shall sleep in any pedestrian or vehicular entrance to public or private property abutting public sidewalk. Upon discovery of unattended campsite, removal of the campsite by the city may occur under the following circumstances. 24-hour notice. We don't have that in Santa Cruz. You don't get 24-hour notice, so I guess we should look upon this as a liberal law in Ashland. Local agency should deliver social services to homeless individuals where the notice has been posted and arrange for outreach workers. Santa Cruz doesn't have any of this. All personal property shall be given to the police department whether 24-hour notice is required or not. Property shall be stored for a minimum of 14 days. There's no provision for this in Santa Cruz law. They don't have to store property for 14 days, or do they have to give 24-hour notice? Property was destroyed repeatedly by Jim Liebenstrom Lang's Parks and Rec Rangers. Jim Lang is the head of the Parks and Rec Department. During the 1991 peace vigil, during 1989 post office vigil for homeless rights, Santa Cruz police were quite militant. Officer Lennon was one of the major offenders, as was Sergeant Hennig. Officer Lennon got some demerits last year again for beating up people at the May 11th demonstration, striking them with his club. And I'm not aware that those incidents were ever investigated. Officer Lennon, give us a call if you want to give your side of the story. We certainly want to hear it, or I do, that's for sure. Again, going back to the Ashland, Oregon anti-homeless law, which I'm afraid was passed on Tuesday. Misdemeanor for sleeping. Misdemeanor for camping. Chapter applies to acts committed on property owned by the city that is located outside the city. So Ashland is becoming a part of yuppie paradise here. Or at least that's, I guess, the intention of the city council, to make sure only the right kind of people are seen in their vans, with their vehicles, in Ashland. Up until this law was passed, according to Aaron, the visiting Ashland guy, there was a 72-hour restriction on parking a vehicle, so you had to move every 72 hours. But other than that, unless there were complaints, wasn't illegal to fall asleep in your vehicle. Now, according to Aaron, even the sight of a blanket can become the basis in a vehicle for a criminal prosecution, a misdemeanor prosecution, which is, again, a jailing offense. So it's fall asleep, go to jail. Which is also true in Santa Cruz, in a more limited sense, on the one hand, and in a more stringent sense on the other. It's true that your first offense, and actually all sleeping offenses in Santa Cruz, are almost invariably charged and prosecuted as infractions, which means you can't go to jail, you can just be forced to pay a fine or do community service, although that issue is under challenge by homeless activist Wonton Dave Jacobs, and more on that later. That is to say, whether a person should be forced to do community service if he or she is found guilty of an infraction, a minor infraction. And we'll talk about that later. But Santa Cruz, as I said, it's more stringent in the sense that you cannot sleep in Santa Cruz on private property outside of a fenced-in side yard or backyard, even with the permission of the owner. So even today, and there has been no action yet by Catherine Byers and the Liberals and the council to allow churches who have their own parking lots and their own private property, people cannot sleep in a vehicle on church property. You can't park your mom comes to town, she can't park her van in your driveway and sleep there without the threat of a sleeping ticket. That is the truth, and it's actually happened numerous times. I haven't heard of any recent accounts of it happening, and Mayor, Council Member Squawkbox Scott Kennedy, as I call him, because of his support of anti-homeless laws last year and his obstruction of civilian police review in the last 4 years, claims that harassment of the Santa Cruz homeless under the Santa Cruz City camping ban, or sleeping ban as I call it, is way down. Well, it's not down enough. I'm continuing to get reports of people being told to move, and I'm talking about from areas that are isolated in the Pogonip, so we're not talking about neighbors complaining, although admittedly some of the complaints that I've heard have come from neighbors who've complained, and occasionally I heard one instance where police acted reasonably and told a woman who was in a van, warned her before ticketing her. That was not the case with a second person that I spoke to within the last week, however. So there is no uniformly reasonable policy regarding the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz. The Santa Cruz sleeping ban is more stringent than the law recently passed in Ashland, Oregon, on its face. But in the sense that it's illegal to be asleep after 11 o'clock anywhere outside or in a vehicle in Santa Cruz. However, it's only an infraction. It's not a misdemeanor. And so it looks like Ashland is putting on its brass knuckles toward homeless people. And I actually made a tape of Aaron and his companions, which I may play part of the tape for you. There we go. Later in this hour, before noon, the show goes till noon, particularly if I can get some eager people to call in saying that they want to hear it, or possibly give me other information that you don't want to hear it, that you heard enough about Ashland, you'd like to hear more about Santa Cruz. We're also hoping to have an interview with Red Top Robert Flory, who promised us that he would show up here at the studio to talk about his travels and adventures in Fresno, where town-wise Tony Mello is apparently causing lots of trouble with his needle exchange program, by the which we mean he's providing a service that's very important and a lot of people are grumbling about it. But there have been no police busts of needle exchange in Fresno yet that I've heard of, and Robert Flory, coming back from Fresno, Red Top Robert, was just there. But he has the complete story, and hopefully he will make his way to the studio and knock on our door and give us direct information. If you have any direct information about needle exchange in Santa Cruz you want to talk about, or homeless situations in Santa Cruz as far as violations of people's rights, as far as living on the streets, as far as anything else that concerns these issues, give me a call at 427-3772. That's 427-FRSC, 427-FREE-RADIO-SANTA-CRUZ, 3772. I'm sitting here at the phone staring at this transparent receiver. I can see all the wires and doodads and transistors there, waiting for you to call. Until you do, I'm just going to have to press on here. So, a little more about Ashland, just because I've kind of amassed some information about it, and it is another example of another town that's turning to the right, that's turning against poor people, that's turning into making this foolish, benighted attempt to lure tourists by getting harder on the more colorful classes of people who hang out. It's 16,000 people live up in Ashland. It's a little town. It's, according to Ruth, who talked to me on Monday from the group Peace House, they actually cut off any testimony at the first hearing of this new camping ban and the whole set of anti-homeless laws I just read you. The Chamber of Commerce asked for the ban, just as the Downtown Commission and the merchants here in Santa Cruz asked for our anti-homeless laws last spring, which the City Council dutifully passed. In Santa Cruz, there was no formal consultation with the homeless or their advocates around these laws that we now suffer under. And in Ashland, according to activist Ruth, there was no consultation with homeless or their advocates. Ashland's an area where they give $120,000 for a day center, but only $8,000 for shelter. So there's the facilities for people up in Ashland are virtually nil. There's a very feeble ACLU up there. There's a judge who issues banishment orders. Yes, you heard me right, folks, banishment orders, which means, according to Aaron and according to Ruth, that what happens, you get dragged into this judge's court on some bogus charge, which the officer lays down. I don't know, a ticket for being in a vehicle, messy vehicle. According to Aaron, he was ticketed illegally. They claimed he'd been there 72 hours. He'd only just pulled up on numerous occasions. And the judge finds you guilty because you can't get a jury trial there, or I guess these are infractions, traffic offenses. And until the camping law was passed, were infractions. And then the judge tells you, in 3 days, you will send me a postcard from Los Angeles, 1,500, 2,000 miles away, or I will have a warrant issued for your arrest. That's what's called banishment, and it's not a constitutional procedure. It is unconstitutional to banish people. It ain't a procedure that they can use here in the United States. But apparently, the judge up there, Drescher, his name is doing it. I haven't got the facility to call him to confirm this, but who knows? Maybe in the next show, if we can get Aaron in here, and hope he's okay, our traveler from Oregon, he can discuss this further. Maybe I'll do some more research on this matter. So that's Ashland, Oregon, where times are getting tougher, and you got to be tougher to be there, I guess. In Santa Cruz, I mentioned to you earlier the Santa Cruz city sleeping ban is coming under some scrutiny for some small reforms and changes, and I talked to you about this in the past. The right of churches to let vehicles park on their property without harassment by police, up to 3 vehicles per church, seems a very, very small thing, a right that a church would have, particularly since churches customarily have bathrooms and other amenities, so there would be no need for public health concerns. This has still gotten nowhere at City Council. I continue to hear from the mayor, Catherine Byers, that whom I call Birdseed Byers because of her very small piping efforts on these matters. This has been going for 6 months. She mentioned this law first 6 months ago, and we've still gotten nowhere with it. Apparently she's running it before the police chief, Steve Belcher, who's going to give his view on this whole thing. It's taken a very, very long time. And if you want to call in to City Council or write in, which apparently is equally good, give a call to 429-3550, where there's a hotline, and you can call in at any point, 24 hours a day, and give your opinion that this law should have been passed yesterday. Please pass it, and also please call you back and tell you what's going on. Maybe you can call me back and tell me what's going on. And you can call me anytime here at the station, at least for the next hour and a half, at 427-3772. And right now it's going to be a mini teeny miny teeny tiny music break here, and then I'll be back with you with more of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides.
Sitting here in limbo, but I know it won't.